Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Means Alive with your host, Rashad Suni Al-Amin, holistic practitioner, holistic teacher, and educator. We want to thank you all for tuning in today. Ramadan Mubarak to all the Muslims who are fasting during this holy month of Ramadan. We pray that your fast is coming along fine. And we want to thank everybody who's tuning in today because we're going to deal with health problems. And we don't speak about nutrition today. I want to also mention Imam Alfred Muhammad. I want to thank him for allowing me this slot on Thursdays, which he gives me an hour and a half to share this information with you. So support the Imam Alfred Muhammad. He's doing his best trying to get as much good information out there to the audience because we need all the information we can get. Knowledge is power. Information is power. So thank Allah that we're able to share all this information with you. I want to start, as usual, with giving you some tidbits on health before we get into our topic of diet and nutrition. And I try to give you some of the latest studies that are out there. I'm going to start with a few here. And one study has come out, and you women, you should pay attention to this. It's saying that women who work night shift or go to sleep around 12 or 1 o'clock a.m. have a 50% increase in developing breast cancer. Yes, breast cancer. Those who go to bed by 10 o'clock lessens their chances tremendously because of the melatonin and sleeping, getting deep sleep in a dark room. Now, I know some of you work a late night shift, and we get home, the room is not dark enough, there's too much light, and it's creating a problem. But if you go to bed late or work the night shift, yes, you have a 50% chance of developing breast cancer. And I know no one wants to develop that. So keep that in mind. If you can get to bed early, good. Try not to hang out too late or try to get you a day job. So this is one of the new studies that's out, and we should pay attention to that. Okay. And also studies show that sex can keep you looking younger and living longer. This is a new study. They said the more sex you have, it should be with your wife, the younger looking you are, and they say that you will live longer. That's a good study there. So keep that in mind. You know, I'm making these short, so I'm not trying to keep them long. Another study shows that apple cider vinegar, they have a test with apple cider vinegar for women to check their cervix. Just swabbing it with apple cider vinegar turns any tumors you may have in your cervix white. So if you have a tumor and you swab with apple cider vinegar and it turns white, it will show that, you know, this thing is cancerous. This is an inexpensive test. So if you go to the hospital to your doctor, it's very costly. So this is a easy test here. And one way to cut, you know, the cervical cancer deaths that they have every year. So keep that in mind. It's one way to test yourself. Okay, turmeric added to green tea makes the tea 8 times more powerful. Now, you all know that green tea is a very powerful tea that prevents cancer. Now, just adding turmeric, just a small amount of turmeric makes it 8 times more powerful. Now, we know turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. It is very powerful, and I always speak on the turmeric. And I always suggest everybody to take a little turmeric in their drink in their tea or in their juice every day. But this new study shows that the tea will be 8 times more powerful if you just add the turmeric. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Also, for pain relief, they're showing now just 1,000 milligrams of calcium citrate can knock out pain, just as good as pain pills. So that's another thing to keep in mind, 1,000 milligrams of calcium citrate, that's C-I-T-R-A-T-E. Eating cruciferous vegetables reduces your chances of developing cancer by 50%. By 50%. What are these cruciferous vegetables? Foods like broccoli, which is cruciferous, very excellent vegetable, you see. Kale, another one. You know, these green vegetables like that, these are cruciferous vegetables. They work very well in cutting your chances of developing cancer, you see. And we should all eat as many greens as possible to prevent cancer. Many of us won't even eat greens, won't even eat green vegetables. We want to eat everything but the good foods, and we wind up with cancer, cancer problems, other ailments. So keep that in mind. Also, pears, apples, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, guess what? They're excellent for diabetes. Yes, those of you who are diabetic should be eating the pears, the apples, the blueberries, the raspberries, the strawberries. You should be eating grapefruit and kiwi, also cherries. All these are beneficial for diabetics. Yes, you should keep that in mind. Don't let these doctors tell you you shouldn't be eating fruit because of the sugar content. This is natural sugar content in these fruits and berries. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Please keep that in mind. Okay, a few more. A high omega-3 fatty acid diet. And it reduces the risk of dying substantially. Substantially. Just including high omega-3 fatty acids. Maybe 1,000 milligrams in the morning and 1,000 milligrams in the evening. It also protects you from skin cancer. The omega-3 fatty acids, which you can get from fish oils. Yes, from fish oils. You can get it from there. And these are very, very beneficial. You should eat some sardines and things of that nature. They're very beneficial, you see. So keep that in mind. A high omega-3 fatty acid diet will really prevent you from dying so soon. Yes. Okay, kidney cancer can be reduced if you have a high-fiber diet. Kidney cancer, yes. Some people suffer with kidney cancer. They eat a poor diet. But just a high-fiber diet, it will reduce kidney cancer. And just a high-fiber diet, period, will reduce a whole lot of cancers. If you would just incorporate real food into your body instead of these processed foods, which have no fiber in it. These things are killing us, brothers and sisters. So keep that in mind. Just a few of those studies. All right, let's go into our topic today, which is diet and nutrition. You know, a century ago, our meals, you know, they were prepared from fresh whole foods. And grandmother and grandfather ate a lot of fresh whole foods. Generally, food crops were grown on local land that was considered a valuable commodity. People took time to prepare their food and enjoy the intrinsic flavors and aromas. Today, the combination of technology and globalization has turned much of our food supply into semi-synthetic, genetically engineered, nutrient-lacking packaged goods. That's what our modern times have done for us. Take a look at your local supermarket. Most of the food you see is stuffed into boxes or other packages. It contains preservatives that ensure long shelf life. Huh? Yes. And many Americans are overfed and yet simultaneously malnourished. Overfed and still malnourished because you eat the wrong foods. I'm telling you, you should learn as much as you can about nutrition. Brothers and sisters, learn as much as you can about nutrition. This is very important. We got to go back to the garden. Nature produces a variety of foods designed by our Creator that are perfectly compatible with the human body. Did you hear that? And history shows that the further we get away from these naturally occurring foods, the worse our health becomes. Some of the most interesting research in this regard was done by a person named Dr. Weston Price, who was a dentist with a passion for anthropology and health. This man traveled the world to study primitive cultures and their dietary habits. He found that people who consumed a traditional diet consisting of plant foods, they could collect, and animals they could catch, especially fish, had superior health and longevity. More than ever, health-conscious people in America are choosing to eat fresh, organic, whole foods. This great trend is predicted will gain momentum as nutritional research continues to demonstrate the multitude of health benefits that accrue from eating natural foods. Now, you see, many people are now educating the masses about the way to eat properly. You have TV programs with certain people sharing this information with you. And we should take it to heart, you see. We got to get away from these bad eating habits, brothers and sisters. We got to get away from the sad diet. The sad diet is the standard American diet. And we see the rates of obesity, of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and many other chronic diseases, they continue to skyrocket. Due in large part to the standard American diet, the sad diet, okay, which the majority of Americans eat. And the obvious solution is not to eat what most Americans are consuming if you want to be healthy. The standard American diet is high in refined carbohydrates. Yes, and that's a technical term for basically sugar, saturated, and trans fatty acids, the types of fats that are linked to disease and animal protein. And most commercial foods are loaded with artificial sweeteners, dyes, preservatives. That's what you're buying in the supermarket. Huh? Poisons. Meals commonly consist of fast food or frozen foods, or they are skipped altogether. Meals do not usually include the plant foods such as fruits, vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. Those are the things we should be eating. You see? And instead of water, people drink coffee, alcohol, soda, and those sweetened fruit juices like Kool-Aid and little bottled juices they sell to children, which are no good. Huh? We got to get away from that. Pesticides, herbicides, and other toxic chemicals are present in the food supply. Even in the leading brands of baby food, they have pesticides and herbicides. And from childhood to the adult years, people have abandoned their basic instincts to eat nutritious food and have succumbed to television commercials that promote fake foods. Yes, you sit there and watch these commercials, and that food attracts you. But it's fake food. It's not real food. It's not healthy food. You see? But they're pushing it on us. And we think it's okay. Yes. And for example, the Journal of the American Dietetic Association reported on a study of preschool children in which researchers found that the most commonly eaten foods were fruit drinks, carbonated beverages, 2% milk, and French fries. Yes. Vegetables dominate the list of children's least favorite foods. That's the children's least favorite foods, vegetables, the ones that they should be consuming the most. And we give them what they want. You parents, you always ask your kids, what do you want for dinner? Oh, we want pizza. We want French fries. We want McDonald's. Instead of you preparing the foods they need. When we were young, we ate what the parents prepared. And it was usually a wholesome meal. You had your starch, your vegetables, your protein. You had all these things. You see, you ate a breakfast before you went to school. You had your lunch. You know, some of it wasn't all that healthy, and some of the meats we ate. But we were better off back then than these children are right now. You see? Because there's so much a commercialization of foods, and you sit there and you watch these commercials, and they brainwash our children into thinking this is nutritious food, and they get hooked on this, you see. So we got to be very careful, brothers and sisters, how we eat and how we feed our children. Let's look at carbohydrates, okay? We're going to touch on carbohydrates, proteins, and things of this nature. A carbohydrate is a compound that contains carbon and water molecules. Actually, individual sugar molecules joined together make up carbohydrates. The simplest of sugar molecules are glucose, fructose, which is fruit sugar, and galactose, a milk sugar. These are known as monosaccharides, as they each contain one sugar molecule. Within the category of carbohydrates are simple and complex carbohydrates. And you want to eat the complex carbohydrates. But anyway, examples of simple carbohydrates are table sugar, fruit sugars, which many of you consume so much of. That's what you call a simple carbohydrate. Yes, as you read in the description of the standard American diet, most people consume far too many simple carbohydrates. Although the body ultimately breaks carbohydrates down into glucose, the simplest of sugars, most simple carbohydrates such as candy, potato chips, soda, refined flours such as white breads and crackers and chip cookies and muffins, have little to no fiber, vitamins, minerals, or phytonutrients. They don't have it. These carbohydrates are often called empty calories. I'm sure all of you are aware of that. When consumed in excess, especially on an empty stomach, they lead to immune system suppression. Weak immunity. Weak immunity lead to mood swings, attention problems, and weight gain. Yes, many of these effects are due in large part to the spike in blood sugar that results after they are eaten. Yes, these simple carbohydrates, they raise your blood sugar. They spike, you see, and that's why many of you are diabetics. And as a result, the hormone insulin is released to help transport blood sugar to the cells. As a byproduct of this, the pancreas, which produces insulin, is overtaxed. The immune cells are weakened, and the body stores fat. That's what happens. And too high a percentage of simple carbohydrates in the diet predisposes people to develop obesity, diabetes, cavities, and heart disease. That's what you get from eating simple carbohydrates. The question then arises, what about fruits? Because most of them contain simple carbohydrates. Research has shown that many types of fruits are good to eat. Most of them are good to eat when consumed in moderation. As it turns out, fruit contains a great deal of fructose. This simple sugar does not cause a rapid rise in glucose and insulin levels because fructose must first be converted into glucose by the liver to be available for the body to use. Fructose has a much more stable effect on blood sugar levels than do other common sugars such as sucrose, maltose, and those other types, dextrose, you see? Yes, certain fruits such as apples contain fiber that helps to normalize blood sugar levels. So when you eat these fruits, which are loaded with fiber, the sugar is released slowly. Slowly, you see? Not like eating those muffins and cookies and chips and all the other junk that creates spikes in your sugar. So keep in mind, complex carbohydrates are the best. That's your fruits and your vegetables and things of that nature. That's what you want, brothers and sisters. Don't go for the other stuff that really is creating havoc in our bodies with these simple carbohydrates. Let's look at proteins. Now, a lot of you think that the only place you can get protein is animal foods. Oh, yes, you know, you get protein from animal foods. But protein is also found in plants. It's found in plants. And the body uses protein as a fuel source and to form or repair tissues, organs, and muscles. And protein consists of enzymes and hormones and is found in every cell of the body. Amino acids are the individual building blocks of protein. There are approximately 20 different amino acids. 10 of the amino acids are known as essential amino acids, which means that our bodies cannot manufacture them. So it is essential that we consume them in our diets. The remaining 10 non-essential amino acids can be manufactured in the body. You understand? So, you know, there's a debate that continues among nutritionists about whether humans should consume animal protein as compared to plant protein. And we must remember that humans are omnivores and that our digestive tracts, including our teeth, were designed to handle both animal and plant foods. You see, yes, we can handle both. You see? But the problem is y'all eat too much meat. Animal protein contains complete proteins. That's a very truthful statement, which means that it contains all the essential amino acids. It has a high biological value, meaning that animal proteins are more digestible and easily utilized by the body. However, certain types of animal meat, especially the red meats, tend to be much higher in saturated fats. Huh? Another concern is that contaminants such as hormones, antibiotics, and microbes, parasites, bacteria, viruses may be found in the animal products. That's something to think about. Okay? This is not pure meat you're eating these days. That's why it's important, if you're going to eat meat, to buy organic meat products and cook them properly. If you are a carnivore and want to eat meat, at least eat organic. You see? At least eat organic. It's more beneficial than eating the non-organic, commercialized type of meats. Also, our fish supply has become increasingly contaminated with toxins, including heavy metals such as mercury. Yeah, you find this in the fish nowadays. That's why it's best to eat the smaller fish, the mackerels and the sardines. These are smaller fish that contain little toxins, you understand. The bigger fish, like the tunas and things of that nature, they're loaded with mercury. So you have to be very careful, brothers and sisters, what fish you decide to eat. Plants also contain protein that is vital to our health. One advantage of eating plants, aside from their protein content, is their fiber content. Okay? You know, plants have more fiber than meat has. Meat doesn't have fiber. Okay? So the plants, they're a valuable source of phytonutrients, from which, you know, the researchers continue to discover a host of health benefits. Okay? Health benefits. And you got to keep in mind that most plants are in an incomplete protein source. However, this is not a problem because a variety of combined plant foods provide all the essential amino acids. When you eat a variety of them, then you can have all your amino acids. So it's important to consume organic fruits and vegetables and to limit the amount of pesticides and herbicides your body is exposed to. I always suggest buy organic. If you can afford it, eat organic. And you say, oh, it's too expensive. Some of you out there buy alcohol every day. That's expensive. Some of you buy cigarettes, $10 a pack. That's expensive. You understand? Cut that stuff out. Then you can afford good food. You don't need the other stuff. You see, a lot of us are wasteful spenders, waste our money on nonsense, when we could be buying good food for our bodies and our children, our families. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. People with insulin resistance or diabetes may fare better by not having a completely vegetarian diet and often benefit from eating some animal foods. Yes, but you got to have clean meat. You see? You don't have to eat meat. Most of the time you do better without the meat. Yes. So keep that in mind. Now, if you want animal protein, eggs have protein in it. Get you some organic eggs. Okay? Soybeans has protein, high protein. Beans, legumes, plenty of protein. Fish, protein. Nuts, plenty of protein. And, of course, you know, poultry, that it's protein. You see? But protein is all over the place. And to me, I think plant protein is the best. Yes. I think plant protein is the best. A plant-based diet is the best. If you want to have real health, if you want to stay slim and trim, eat a plant-based protein. If you can handle being a vegetarian, all well and good. You'll receive the benefits. You can go as far as being a vegan. Very good. You see? It all depends. But be the best vegan that you can be and be the best vegetarian that you can be. Just don't eat a lot of junk and just avoid the meat. You have to eat good food. Let's look at fats. Now, a lot of us love fatty foods. Yes. You love the feel of that stuff. Yes, there's many people that fear fat because they're associated with obesity. However, to be healthy, humans require a certain amount of fat in their diet. And the key is to eat the right kind of fats and to reduce or avoid the harmful fats. Fat is required to produce energy for healthy brain development and function. For normal growth and development, to absorb fat-soluble vitamins, for healthy skin, for nails and hair, for a healthy immune system, and for many other vital functions. All fats are composed of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen molecules. The differences between fats come down to the number of carbon atoms in each type of fat and the way they are arranged. And there are three main categories of fats. Let's look at all three of them. You got the monounsaturated fats, and it refers to the fatty acids that have one double bond. The double bond affects the function of the fatty acids and makes the fat useful for certain cell functions. Monounsaturated fatty acids are helpful and are found in foods such as avocados and olive oil. And I always tell you all, take olive oil every day. This is one of the best fats there is. Avocado is one of the best fats there is. Avocados helps to balance your blood sugar. Yes, olive oil is good for your heart, good for your skin. It gives nice looking skin. Keep that in mind. There's plenty of other foods that are monounsaturated. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Then you got the polyunsaturated fats, comprise all of the essential fatty acids. Essential fatty acids must be obtained through the diet, as the body cannot manufacture them. Polyunsaturated fatty acids contain more than one double bond. Good sources are fish, such as salmon and mackerel, sardines, as well as flax seeds and flaxseed oil, walnuts, soybeans, and certain other plant foods. Yes, this is where you get the polyunsaturated fats. You see? Salmon is an excellent fish. You should have that once or twice a week. If not that, maybe some sardines or mackerel. You should have flax seeds. Grind them up. Add them to your cereal. Or put them in your smoothie. Blend them up with your fresh fruits and your rice milk. And make yourself a nice smoothie. Walnuts. You can blend them up also in your smoothie. Or just eat them. They're great for your heart. Yes, they're heart protective. Protect you from having heart attacks. Keep that in mind. These are polyunsaturated fats. So incorporate some of these into your diet, brothers and sisters. And then there's the saturated fats, which means that all the carbon molecules are filled, saturated with hydrogen molecules. This makes the fat solid to semi-solid at room temperature. Examples of foods that are high in saturated fats include red meat, pork, and dairy products. Lard is another one, and it's a shame if anybody in 2013 is using lard. God Almighty, can you imagine what your arteries look like? Yes. Some oils, such as palm and coconut oil, contain some saturated fat, but it's a good fat, an excellent fat. So there's a role for saturated fats in the body. For example, they are one component for the brain cells. Okay? However, most people tend to go overboard with foods that contain saturated fats. The consumption of these fats is associated with an increased susceptibility to cancer, heart disease, and inflammatory conditions. Saturated fat is also known to be a storehouse for many different types of toxins. Those toxins collect in that fat. Yes, that meat that you're eating, your pork chops, your ham hocks, your steaks, all the rest of that junk. Excuse me, I have to say it like that. A lot of them have the toxins and the hormones and everything else. If you're going to eat meat, eat clean meat, eat organic meat. Allow organic meat. That's the meat you should eat if you don't eat meat. And just eat a little bit of it. Don't go overboard, because you can still develop these conditions. Who wants cancer? Who wants heart disease? Huh? Who wants all these inflammatory conditions such as arthritis and things of that nature? I'm sure none of you want to suffer with that. But there's those who don't care, and they suffer. And they have to go see the doctor and get cut up, burnt up, or whatever else they do to you, you see, because of your negligence. Okay. So these are the different fats. But keep in mind, try to keep those omega-3 fatty acids in your body. Keep the olive oil and the avocados and all that good food in your body. You'll have great health, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. Lessen those saturated fats, because you don't really need those. Okay? All right. Now, let's look at the two essential fatty acids. All the fatty acids are important. The body requires about 20 fatty acids to function properly. However, unlike the other fatty acids, alpha-linolenic acid and linoleic acid cannot be manufactured by the body and must be obtained from the diet. Alpha-linolenic acid, ALA, is a member of the omega-3 fatty acid family. You have probably heard of it in regard to the health benefits of eating fish and flax seeds. Yes, that's where you get that from, okay? And your walnuts and your green leafy vegetables and your organic canola oil. That's where you get your alpha-linolenic acid. Keep these in mind. Does it hurt to incorporate some of this into your diet? Is it too much trouble? Can you give up the bad food for the good food? Think about it. And then you have linoleic acid, which is a member of the omega-6 family. This fatty acid is found in foods such as sunflower, safflower, corn, sesame, borage, and evening primrose oils. That's where you find your omega-6 fatty acids. So what are these essential fatty acids used for? The essential fatty acids are part of the cell membranes. They're needed for cells to carry out their normal functions. Now, here's a sample of the roles that essential fatty acids play. Brain and retina development. Yeah, the retina in your eye. It helps that develop. Balanced mood. Hormone synthesis. Regulation of pain and inflammation, immune function, for proper circulation, for kidney function, for nerve transmission, for energy production, for skin, nail, and hair health. Yes, that's why you need the essential fatty acids. That's what they're used for. You see? Physical signs of essential fatty acid deficiency or imbalance include dry skin, cracked skin, dandruff, irritability, soft nails, nails that break easily, dry, listless hair, excessive thirst, dry eyes, poor wound healing, frequent urination, and what they call chicken skin on the back of your arms. These are the physical signs of essential fatty acid deficiency. Huh? That's why those essential fatty acids are necessary. So if you have any of these physical signs, you need to incorporate some fish oil, some flax seeds into your diet. Okay? Some olive oil, some avocados. Now, conditions associated with fatty acid deficiency or imbalance include arthritis, asthma, attention deficit disorder, cardiovascular disease, heart attack and stroke, cancer, depression, the dry skin, diabetes, eczema, fatigue, hair loss, hypertension, lupus, memory problems, and schizophrenia. Did you hear that? Those are the conditions associated with fatty acid deficiency. Anybody suffering with these problems, start including some fatty acids into your diet. I hope you are all taking notes and writing some of this down. I usually tell you at the beginning of the program, make sure that you have your pad and pen or pencil available so that you can take these notes. You need to know this. Maybe you're not suffering with these problems, but you may have friends or family members who are, and they need this information. And you can share this with them, help them, you see. So let's look at the importance of fatty acid balance. Think of a scale with the omega-3 fatty acids on one side and the omega-6 fatty acids on the other. To maintain a balance, each side must be equal. The problem with most children's diets in our modern society is that this scale is tipped in favor of the omega-6 fatty acids. And this imbalance can lead to a whole host of problems, including behavioral changes, decreased immunity, cardiovascular problems, joint problems, skin problems, and a variety of other medical conditions. Researchers have stated that the Western diet contains anywhere from 14 to 20 times more omega-6 fatty acids than the omega-3s. One expert said, who's an expert in essential fatty acids, estimates that over the last 75 years, our omega-3 fatty acid consumption has decreased by 80%. Following are some of the major reasons why this imbalance has occurred. Decreased consumption of foods that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids, such as the fish oils and the flax seeds and the whole grains. Increased sugar intake interferes with fatty acid metabolism. Increased intake of trans fatty acids, fast foods and margarine. Increased hydrogenation of oils. Those are hydrogenated oils, those commercial oils you buy from the supermarket. Those commercially produced ones. The safflower and the sunflower, the ones the way to make them is just not the proper way. They're not cold pressed or anything. Nutritional deficiencies, certain minerals such as B6, vitamin B6, are needed for fatty acid metabolism. Increased use of pharmaceutical medications. These may deplete the nutrients and fatty acids. Yes, your pharmaceutical medications. Infant formulas are not balanced with essential fatty acids, and also digestive problems. Yes. These are the major reasons why this imbalance has occurred. You see? The harmful fats, the saturated fats I described earlier, make up one category of unhealthful fats. Hydrogenated fats, trans fatty acids, refer to the unsaturated fatty acid molecules from vegetable oils and have had hydrogen molecules added. This results in unnatural fats that are now semi-solid or solid. Trans fatty acids are found in margarine, one of the most dangerous foods you can eat, margarine. You keep consuming margarine, it makes you look old. This is what you call fake butter. The salad dressings, the commercial salad dressings, commercial breads and cookies and crackers, they should be avoided due to their harmful effects on the body. They have no known beneficial function as a spread or for bacon. Butter is a better option than margarine. They tell you stay away from butter, but margarine is worse. Yes. Stay away from those foods, brothers and sisters. Eat the proper fats. You see? Eat the proper fats. Yes, very important. DHA is an omega-3 long-chained fatty acid that's found in high concentrations in breast milk and fish. Breast milk and fish. Humans have the ability to make DHA from the essential fatty acid ALA, but the efficiency of this process varies depending on the individual. DHA plays a pivotal role in the development of a baby's brain and retinas. It also plays an important role in joint health and cognitive function. Sources of DHA include fish, especially cold water fish, such as salmon, mackerel, herring, sardines, also tuna, but you got to be careful with the tuna because of the mercury content. Other foods, good sources, include organic eggs and some types of algae, okay? Also, EPA is an omega-3 fatty acid that helps to regulate inflammation, the immune system, blood clotting, and circulation, including to the brain, and is also found in DHA-rich fish. Okay? Those fishes I mentioned, you'll find EPA. Okay? Then GLA is a member of the omega-6 family. It has a powerful effect on the functions of the brain, on joint health, and on hormone balance. Sources include the borage oil, evening primrose oil, and black currant seed oil. These are your best. All right? Keep that in mind. Then there's AAA, arachidonic acid. Is first found in mother's breast milk, where it helps with her infant's brain development. That's why, sisters, it's very important to breastfeed your children for proper brain development, to have intelligent children, okay? At approximately 1 year of age, an infant can make its own AA, arachidonic acid. Many animal products, such as beef and turkey, contain it. So a deficiency is really rare in our society. But too much AA can act as a precursor to inflammatory conditions in the body. Linoleic acid can also be converted into AA. Sources include peanuts and some algae and some animal fat. You see? So these are some things about the fatty acids that we should know, the essential fatty acids, and about fats. Keep that in mind. brothers and sisters. Please keep that in mind. A lot of you don't even eat any of this good stuff. You don't even know about it. The government doesn't tell you anything about it. They don't tell you the proper way to eat. Their pyramid is the worst pyramid food scale you ever seen. They need to revamp that. Next, you got to have fiber, brothers and sisters. You got to have your fiber. One key to a healthful diet is making sure that you get enough fiber on a daily basis. Plant foods are the only source of fiber. Did you hear that? Plant foods are the only source of fiber. There are two types of fiber. Soluble fiber means that the fiber dissolves in water. An example would be oat bran or dried beans and peas. Oat bran is powerful food, loaded with fiber. I'm telling you, when you eat oat bran, oh, that fiber goes through you, and you'll be regular. This type of fiber helps to slow the absorption of glucose from the intestines into the bloodstream and thus improves the blood sugar balance. It also helps to lower cholesterol. Yes, soluble fiber helps to lower the cholesterol. Insoluble fiber does not dissolve in water, and it helps to bind water and bulk up the stools to allow for efficient bowel movements. It also helps to bind excess fats and toxins in the digestive tract to be excreted out with the stools. Populations that consume a lot of fiber have less risk of developing colon and other cancers. Fiber also provides a sense of fullness without containing empty calories. So it's recommended that you eat at least 25 grams of total fiber a day. Huh? Yes, fiber. You can avoid so many sicknesses, brothers and sisters, just eat fibrous foods. Plant foods, your fruits and vegetables, your berries, your nuts, and your seeds. Those are plant foods. Load with fiber. Meat does not have fiber. Huh? Your processed foods does not have fiber. Very little of any. Yes. Think about it. Constipation. Straining out of bowel movement, abdominal pain, or hard stools, can all be signs that you are not getting enough fiber. You hear that? Straining. You're in the bathroom straining, trying to get rid of some feces. Straining. Huh? Yes. Terrible, painful, hard stools. Huh? Yes. People with sensitive digestive systems who are prone to bloat, gas, and cramps often do better by starting with steamed or cooked vegetables such as broccoli, carrots, and cauliflower. Huh? Over time, they can convert to larger quantities of raw vegetables. Also, enzyme supplements are helpful for people who have trouble digesting raw vegetables. By including 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day in your diet, you will obtain enough fiber. Huh? I always say eat more than that. Maybe 10 or 12 servings. Much better. That's what you should be eating. Plenty of fiber. How many of you have hemorrhoids out there because of lack of fiber? And you straining and straining. That causes hemorrhoids. That's painful. Some of you have to go to the hospital and have them cut out. And you can't even sit down for days. You have to sit on a rubber tube, an inner tube. Yes. Very painful, brothers and sisters. Learn how to eat properly. Get away from those pork chops and all that red meat, baby back ribs and all that stuff that you enjoy so much, some of you out there. Not all of you, some of you. Huh? So what are good fruits that have fiber in it? Apples. Apples loaded with fiber. The old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, is very true. You should have an apple or two a day. And it's very filling. Banana, loaded with fiber. Excellent food. Huh? All humans should be eating some bananas. Some of y'all think bananas are just for gorillas or something. No, it's for human beings. Blueberries. Loaded with fiber. Yes. Have a half a cup a day at least. Huh? Blackberries. Very high in fiber. One of the best berries you can buy. Blackberries. Very high in fiber. Yes. And these are insoluble fibers. Okay? Grapes. Very good. Grapefruit. Good. Honeydew melons, good. Peaches, good. Raisins, all these are good. These are just some of the fruits and melons. Watermelon, all these foods are good. But the ones I mentioned have very good fiber in it. You see? Vegetables. Huh? High fiber, artichokes. Very high in fiber. Fresh or cooked, very high in fiber. Beans, very high in fiber. Huh? Whichever type of beans you like, low with fiber. Broccoli, low with fiber. Yes, Brussels sprouts, excellent. Plenty of fiber, frozen or cooked. Lettuce, spinach. Spinach should be eaten mostly raw, because if you cook it, it creates oxalic acid, which is not good for you. So keep that in mind, brothers and sisters. Yes. So these are very good foods to incorporate into your body. You see? I'm telling you. Nuts, peanuts, walnuts, almonds. These are very good. Lentils are very good for you. Lentils are very good beans. Yes, black beans, navy beans. All these beans are excellent, brothers and sisters. Try to keep those in your diet. Have variety in your diet. A healthful diet includes a wide variety of foods. Every food has a different nutritional profile. And by eating as many different helpful foods as possible, you expand the amount and the types of nutrients you take in. In addition, your taste and desire for a wide variety of foods will increase after you experience so many different flavors, textures, and so on. Furthermore, a varied diet prevents food sensitivities from developing. Thus, you will avoid present and future problems. Yes. So try to eat fruits and vegetables in every color of the rainbow. Green, yellow, red, orange, and so on, purple. Huh? Yes. Eat all the colors of the rainbow. They all contain different phytonutrients, which are valuable for preventing serious illnesses. And organic foods are best. Why organic foods? Over 1 billion pounds, listen to this, over 1 billion pounds of pesticides and herbicides are sprayed on U.S. crops each year. Yes, it is realistic to assume that you are ingesting all these potential toxins. The long-term effects of pesticide and herbicide exposure are not truly clear, but a scary picture is beginning to emerge. Population studies on adults suggest a link with certain type of cancers and neurological diseases. Huh? As parents and doctors, we do not want to wait until absolute scientific evidence links these chemicals to various diseases. Pesticides that have been considered safe and were used for decades are now being banned. For example, methylparathion, a type of organophosphate, was recently banned from being sprayed on apples. Huh? Yes. Stay away from foods that have been sprayed with pesticides. Go organic. Foods are one of the few environmental substances that we can specifically control in regard to our health. It's hard to control the air we breathe outdoors unless we move to a different area. But we can control the safety of our food, brothers and sisters, to a certain extent. And it starts when we buy organic. Organic means foods that have not been sprayed with synthetic chemicals and have been grown in safe soil. Look for foods that are labeled certified organically grown. Organic foods may not be totally pesticide-free due to cross-contamination from other crops and circumstances beyond anybody's control. But a 1997 Consumer Reports study of 100 pounds of organic and non-organic food randomly selected from grocery stores around the country found that 25% of the organic samples had traces of pesticides, while 77% of the unorganic food did. Yes, organic foods cost more, but your health is worth it. Be wary of the following fruits and vegetables, as they contain some of the highest amounts of toxic pesticides. Now, these are the ones that are sprayed that you should be very wary of, and that is your peaches, your apples, pears, winter squash, green beans, grapes, strawberries, raspberries, spinach, and potatoes are sprayed heavily with pesticides. That's why you need to buy those in organic form. Baby food is contaminated with pesticides and chemicals as well. Fortunately, well-known baby food brands are now selling organic. The next best thing to buying certified organic food is to buy fruits and vegetables at local farmer markets. Huh? Get to know your local farmers who do not use pesticides on their crops. You can also purchase poultry and meat products made from chicken, sheep, and cattle that consume non-pesticide feed and are free of hormones and antibiotics. Even organic milk is now available as well, free from these contaminants, if you are a milk drinker. Organic is more nutritious than other foods. One study compared the amounts of healthful and toxic minerals in organically and conventionally grown foods. Following are the results, which highly favor organically grown foods. Let's look at the healthful minerals in these foods. Boron, a mineral, is 70% higher in organically grown foods. Calcium is 63% higher in organically grown. Chromium is 78% higher in organically grown. Cobalt is about the same in both groups. Copper is 48% higher in organically grown. Iodine, 73% higher in organically grown. Iron, 59% higher in organically grown. Lithium, 118% higher in organically grown. Magnesium, 138% higher in organically grown. Nickel, 66% higher in organically grown. Molybdenum, 68% higher in organically grown. Phosphorus, 91% higher in organically grown. Potassium, 125% higher in organically grown. Selenium, 390% higher in organically grown. Silicon, 86% higher in organically grown. Sodium, natural sodium, 159% higher in organically grown. Strontium, 133% higher in organically grown. Sulfur, 20% higher in organically grown. Vanadium, 8% higher in organically grown. And zinc, 60% higher in organically grown. Now think about that, brothers and sisters. Look at the higher amounts of minerals in organically grown foods. That must be telling you that the commercially pesticide-grown foods are substantially lower in minerals. Yes, and look at the toxic minerals. Look at this. Toxic minerals. Aluminum, which is very bad for the body, is 40% higher in conventionally grown foods. Cadmium, 5% higher in organically grown. Lead, 29% higher in conventionally grown, and mercury is 25% higher in conventionally grown foods. Think about that, brothers and sisters. And listen, when you buy your fruits and your vegetables, you have got to wash them. You know, you get people, I see them at the supermarket, especially with grapes. Everybody seems like to pick those grapes and just start munching on them. They haven't been washed. The ones that are conventional are full of pesticides, and you just throw them in your mouth. And you don't know whose hands had been on that before you put your hands on it. And then you wind up sick and you wonder why. All foods, whether organic or not, should be washed and cleaned thoroughly to rinse off bacteria as well as pesticides. The problem with soft foods such as pears is that pesticides saturate into the core of the fruit. Yes, those conventional pears, they're soft, and the pesticides go and saturate the whole core of the fruit. So I recommend you wash your fruits and vegetables with they have these special type of fruit and vegetable compounds that can dissolve pesticides on some of these conventional foods. But even with the organic, you still have to wash. You have to take the dirt off. Wash the bacteria off. You just can't just buy something, just eat it without washing. Huh? No. No. You have to wash. Yes. So these are just some of the things I want to share with you. But I meant to share this with you too, with the fish. Now, you know, there's a lot of mercury out there in the ocean. Huh? And you want to know, well, which fish should I eat and which fish should I avoid? So I don't have to ingest all this mercury. Well, let's look at the fish that are generally low in mercury. These are the ones that are low in mercury. Those would be your anchovies, catfish, clams, cod, Pacific cod, crab, flatfish, Pacific flatfish, herring, oysters, Pacific pollock, wild Alaskan salmon, sardines, scallops, and tilapia. Okay? Those are ones that are generally low in mercury. Now, be careful, because they are farm-raised fish. You should stay away from any farm-raised fish. They are loaded with bacteria. Get the wild caught. Now, the fish that are generally high in mercury. Write these down. These are high in mercury. Chilean sea bass. That's C-H-I-L-E-A-N. Chilean sea bass. Atlantic cod. Groupers. Atlantic flatfish. Halibut. Lobster. Mackerel. Ocean perch, orange ruffy, Oreo dory. Some funny sounding names, right? Oreo dory. It makes you think about Oreo cookies or something. Atlantic pollock, Pacific rockfish, shark, snappers, striped bass, swordfish, and tuna are generally high in mercury, brothers and sisters. So I know some of you like some of those foods. If you feel you really need to eat some of these fish that are high in mercury, make it once in a blue moon. Make it maybe a treat for yourself if you really like these fish. But don't eat it on a regular basis. Don't eat it on a regular basis. You see? You don't want that mercury in your system. Okay. There's more to say here, but we're running out of time. It's almost 7:15. But I try to share all this with you, brothers and sisters, because our community needs good health. We have very poor dietary habits. Very poor. My wife was telling me yesterday about some young lady on a job. She's sitting there watching her eat her lunch, eating a bowl of Cheerios and a can of soda, drinking the soda in between the Cheerios and some other junk she had combined there. And this lady is sickly, suffers with all kind of sickness. Look at her diet. What kind of combination is that? Bad. Terrible. But this is the way some of us eat. I remember when I was a kid, one of my neighbors, he used to love sugar sandwiches. Take that Wonder Bread, the white bread, and pour sugar over it and eat it. I said, my God. I said, how do you do that? That's what he would eat. He would like that fried bologna hombre. Oh, I tell you, some of the eating habits that some of us have is just ridiculous, you see. Yes, it's a shame we've gotten away from the food that Allah created for us in this garden, this vast garden here in this earth. All these good foods, mangoes, melons, tomatoes, peaches and apples and all kind of good stuff. But we want the sugary stuff. We want the processed foods. We want the fast foods. Yes, this is what we want. We want it quick. We want to have that fatty taste. Terrible. Terrible. The way we eat is killing us. Slowly but surely. Some of you Muslims who still have How to Eat to Live in your library, maybe you need to revisit that. He was telling us back then, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to stay away from these bad foods. Yes, it wasn't perfect, but it was better than what we had. I'm telling you, you need to go back to one meal a day, some of you. Some of you really need one meal a day. You see, overweight, obese, whatever. You need to start losing that weight. So you don't become a diabetic. So you don't develop cancer. Suffer with these other problems. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Don't wait till it's too late now. Don't wait till it's too late, then you start seeking some help. What can I do to reverse this condition? Prevent it. Prevent it in the first place. You go to work. You don't have to go to no fast food place to eat. Bring yourself some fruit or a salad to your job. Pack it. Bring it with you. That's what you should do. You see? Instead of running down to, you know, the fast food places and getting you a burger and fries and a milkshake. Yes. Bring your own food. Start off the morning healthy. You need some fruit or some oat bran or something healthy in the morning. And in the evening, have your wholesome meal, homemade meal. Don't call it Chicken Delight or these other places. And these other places with this fake chicken. You don't know what you're getting these days. Stuff made in the laboratory. Yeah. Made in the laboratory. You don't know what you get. You got cloned meats out there. Yes. It's a shame. All this genetically modified organisms, GMOs. You don't know how it's affecting your body. Some of you don't even care. Eat anything and everything. Yes. It's a shame. But that's how many of you do. So, I thank you all for listening. I pray that you've gotten something out of this and that it'll be of benefit to you. Next week, we'll touch on several disease conditions. Maybe we'll touch on the prostate for the men, prostatitis, prostate enlargement, see what we can do to reverse it and to prevent it. Gentlemen, there's a serious problem with prostate out here. And we'll touch on a few other topics that everybody can benefit from. Again, I thank you. Tune in next week. Tell your friends and family about the program. Have them tune in. make sure you start making the changes necessary for good health. Ramadan Mubarak to all Muslims who are fasting. Have a good night. Shalom. Salaam alaikum to all.